Check out Dobbs April deals before you make your next tire or service purchase, including super BOGO deals on oil changes, plus great deals on new sets of tires. Bumper to bumper, your dollars go further at Dobbs. Click on gotodobbs.com for April deals now.
Meet Sumner One, your go-to source for all things office technology. We're proud to be one of the largest independently owned providers in the region with 11 strategic locations across 5 states. At Sumner One, we specialize in workplace solutions, enterprise print, production print, large format solutions, cutting-edge document technology, and more. Quality, service, and innovation. That's the Sumner One advantage. Visit us online at sumneronecom. That's SUMNER1.com. Sumner One, welcome to the one place where everything works.
Time for Curbside with the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber. Brought to you by Scott Lee Heating Company, a proud Mitsubishi Electric Elite contractor.
Brooke Grimsley, Randy Carricker, the opening drive, 101 ESPN, and the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber, joins us as he does every Monday. Curbs, good morning. How you doing?
Randy, I'm good today. How are you?
Good. I can't tell you how great it was to hear Kelly Chase yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? Joey's son had his first communion, and which is obviously a pretty big deal. And Chase was available to sit in. It was fun having him sit back in the booth. It's hard to believe it's been 6 seasons, isn't it?
That is amazing to think that he's been out of the booth that long. But he took one thing about Chaser, he can talk. So he took like a duck to water.
Yeah, that was like getting back on a tandem bike. And thank goodness that was the case, too, because I think the broadcast yesterday was about 50% play-by-play, something like that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the actual numbers are, but let's just say that yesterday had a really good economy of words.
It really did.
Well, Curbs, the Blues season, as we know, they're not going to be able to make the playoffs, and they were able to at least close out their homestand with a nice run there against the Kraken. But are you happy with the Blues season overall? I know that they're going to finish it out this week in Dallas, but are you happy with the Blues season overall, and did they meet your expectations, surpass them, or was there any disappointments? What is your feeling coming away from this?
I think it might be disingenuous to say that I was happy with the season. I think that, did they meet expectations? I didn't anticipate this was a playoff team at the beginning of the year. I think there was obviously a disappointing start that caused a terrific, terrific hockey coach and man to lose his job. And that led to, the changes that we saw. I believe there are some really good signs for the future that came out of this. I believe there's some really good evaluation of some that will not be part of that future coming out of this. I guess for me, Brooke, I constantly put myself back into a state of reality. Even when the Blues had a 4-point lead on a wild card spot playing Nashville, like, okay, if they get the win, they get the 6, you could see where this might go. We'll have to wait and see. When you've got a playoff spot, a couple months left in the season and you can't hold on to it, I think you're going to look at it as a disappointment. When you finish 5 points out of a playoff spot, you're going to look at it as a disappointment. And you should, especially considering some of the just horrifically inexplainable losses that you had. But that said, this is year one of what Doug Armstrong said he envisioned could be a 2 or 3 year retool rebuild as they change the core to the younger guys, so led by Robert Thomas from an offensive standpoint. And as they, start to bring in, remember, Snuggerud had already been drafted, right? They had not drafted Dvorsky with the 10th overall pick when they did that. And for year one, for that to finish with a 90-plus point season, basically the first team in the West out of a playoff spot, in that sense, I think you have to look at it as progress. One more quick thought, and I don't know where you're at with this one on Randy or Brooke, but, it's an interesting debate on whether or not this was the worst possible outcome, right? Because you weren't good enough to make the playoffs. You were good enough to play some meaningful games down the stretch, and don't underestimate how important that is, when it comes to young guys. But you also didn't help yourself with a higher draft pick. And the one thing that came out of yesterday's game was Well, if there's one thing's for sure, the word tanking is not part of Doug Armstrong's vernacular.
Right, right. And Curbs, you know what? I look at it as a 61-year-old. I don't want to tank. I look at the Snuggerud situation, okay? Snuggerud is still going to have to acclimate to the NHL. I don't think Jimmy Snuggerud winds up being an impact player for the Blues until 26-27. He plays next year, 24-25 in college, 25-26 if he's in the NHL. We very rarely see guys make an impact in their very first year in the NHL. So I think at the earliest, we're looking for Snuggerud to be an impact player at 26, 27. You draft a player now, an 18-year-old, next probably 2 years. So 24, 25, 25, 26. He's probably in junior or the minors or in the A. So 26, 27. Maybe his first year, 27, 28, he starts to become an impact player. Look how long it took Robert Thomas to become what he is, probably 4 or 5 years. I don't think that in this day and age, if you're Doug Armstrong, you don't have enough time to tank. It's foolish because we've seen Buffalo do it forever with high draft choices. We've seen Edmonton. They don't have a cup to show for it. I don't want the Blues to do that. I'm a big proponent of, if I can move the might be for an is, I'm going to do that.
Randy, with the Summer Olympics coming, that's a 10 out of 10 platform dive. That's perfect. Like, no, I agree with you completely. Absolutely, completely on this. Like, if, you know, well, let's peel back some of what you went through. First off, TJ Oshie went back to his third year of North Dakota. Worked out just well for him, I think, right? So we're okay there. And fully expected there. Robert Thomas, you can make the case. I mean, Robert Thomas assisted on what some of you can make the case is the biggest goal in the history of this franchise. And that double overtime goal by Pat Maroon. But Robert Thomas was a rookie playing a line with a 10-year vet in Tyler Bozak at center and then the big rig on the other side. This season, season six, was his first season in the NHL as a full-time number one centerman, and look what he's done. Okay, so you're right. It does take time. There is no guarantee that tanking and to go back. And if you look at all the teams that are in the bottom right now, they did it to themselves. They chose to go the route that they chose of basically emptying the cupboard. And any general manager out there can tank. Any general manager out there can sell talent and see the best possible deal they could get, right? It's getting it to the next level once you've done that. And, you know, that is what the Blues, I think, have been great in. So when you're looking at a Bull Duke as a 17th overall pick, a Thomas as a 20th overall pick, a Binnington and a Kyrou as second rounders, a Parayko as a third rounder, right? They have found ways to draft and to bring in good quality players. Now, we haven't seen, you know, we haven't gotten the luck of like a fifth round Kucherov or something like that where you're getting, you know, 133 points. Okay, but they are getting, you know, some pretty doggone good players in there. And they've clearly drafted high character, which you can see this year. You absolutely need more character on this team and in that locker room. They're very pleased with what they're seeing in the development process. And Tom Stillman told Alex Ferrario yesterday, look, we don't want to overhype our offseason. We're going to continue this process from within, you know, make the adjustments accordingly to the roster. I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. You know, but we are going to stick to our plan. And teams that stick to that plan work. Now, the other thing that Doug Armstrong has done, and this is where the Buffalo Sabres, the Edmonton Oilers, all those other teams, the Ottawa Senators, they continue to flub, the Arizona Coyotes, you can't keep a hold of all of your prospects. At some point, you've got to move somebody to get somebody to put it, you know, to keep your progress moving forward. The Vegas Golden Knights have been excellent at it. You know, and the Blues as well. You know, it's probably one of those things that cost Jarmo Kekäläinen his job. Is he just never made enough of the moves to advance the process there in Columbus? So, yeah, I'm with you. There is no need to tank. The cupboard isn't bare. You clearly see that there was a Kessel, a Bull Duke in the pipeline coming, and now then there's more coming as they go. They've trusted their staff, and I think you're in a pretty good shape. Look, this is only the 11th time in franchise history that the Blues have missed the playoffs. The Buffalo Sabres are about to miss the playoffs for the 13th consecutive year. The Buffalo Sabres, if they end up, I think they're 11th now, if they end up with a top 10 pick, will be picking with a top 10 pick for the 10th time in the last 11 years. Let that sink in. All those other teams, go look at Arizona. Go look at Chicago. Go look at San Jose's different because San Jose had a long, good run, and frankly, they deserve a first overall pick. but look at the Ottawa Senators and look at those teams, the Montreal Canadiens, who are once again continuing to pick in the top 10 because they can't get out of the bottom 10. I think the Blues are on a good path in terms of, you know, how they're moving forward. And, you know, hopefully they make just enough tweaks and earn a few more points, next year. Look, it's a process. It's a bit of a frustrating one, but I sure like the hands that the Blues are in versus some of these other teams.
And, Curbs, you brought up one franchise that I think is really interesting. And they went with the no-movement clauses, the Chicago did, with Taves, Kane, Seabrook, Keith, Crawford. And they had to get rid of people like Teravainen, who had a nice run with Carolina. They had to get rid of Panarin. They got rid of some really established, good young players, DeBrincat. And that was because they had to pay those guys. But, man, Chicago now, this is one playoff appearance in the last 7 years for the Blackhawks. And, by the way, the last time they won a playoff series was when they won the Stanley Cup Final in 2015.
Well, and so as some people say, yeah, but they won the three cups. I'm with you on that. And you would trade that to have that, you know, those two extra cups. I'm not sitting there saying and suggesting that a team should, you know, mire in the middle. And Tom Snellman and both Doug Armstrong have said we don't want to be in the mucky middle. And I get that part. But there's other ways to do it. They paid a price, but they had Hall of Fame franchise caliber players in those guys. And I can totally understand where it goes, but you're right. You know, you look at DeBrincat, you look at Yoki Haru, you look at even when they were going through the process, they traded away Byfuglien, Letty, Dodd, Panarin. You know, they moved some guys to kind of stay in there.
Mm-hmm.
And look, one of the things that handcuffed the Blues more than anything is what happened with the flat cap and COVID. Okay, for 4 years, the cap stayed flat right after they won it. So the ability to really extend some guys didn't quite exist the way it did. And you know, and if you look at, Tampa won a couple cups. Well, they had guys in different points and times in their contracts, right? And so that's all part of it. I mean, that's just playing in the sandbox. That's just doing business. That's just kind of where it's going. But you're right. I mean, one playoff appearance in the last 7 years for the Chicago Blackhawks. Randy, the Blues have not missed the playoff. They've only missed the playoffs three consecutive years, one time in franchise history.
Yeah, right. And here's the thing, Curbs, you can see a future. That's the difference. So the Blackhawks fans can't see a future right now. And the Blues, it's the old Branch Rickey thing. I'd rather get guys rid of a guy a year too early than a year too late. Chicago, it was a year too late for almost all of their guys. Well, no, all of them. The Blues, you lose Tarasenko, you get rid of O'Reilly. Petro, I think we can all agree, was a mistake. But at least they weren't stuck with those guys beyond the time they were serviceable players.
No, now I do wonder. I have wondered if the Blues could have been more aggressive to keep some of those guys and stay in the window and find different support guys. I think that's a fair question and a fair debate to ask and have some fun with. But they made a decision. And Doug Armstrong made the decision. He almost made it a year earlier, but he felt that that team, that core should have one more chance. And when they were below 500 last year, he said, that's it, we're ripping the Band-Aid off. And if we do this now, I believe that we're going to get our young guys enough experience, and when a couple of these other guys come in, here's where we're going to be. He's got the support and faith of Tom Stillman and the ownership group, right? And I think, I mean, look, the fact that you were playing game number 80 with still a chance to make the playoffs, albeit I know it's a slight mathematical one, but still game number 80 with a chance that had two games gone your way, you're 1 point out of a playoff spot. It shows you that he knows what he's doing in terms of building a team. And I think you've got to see it through. So again, Tom Stillman joined Alex yesterday on the broadcast, and I thought some of his answers and stuff give fans a real simple, real clear idea. And, you know, the one thing that this team hasn't, that fans have not received under the stewardship of Mr. Stillman and his ownership group, they haven't received a letter that says, hey, we're going to go into a complete rebuild, hang with us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rangers did that a few years ago, all that stuff. They haven't done that. And ever since this ownership group took over, they have given Doug Armstrong the resources to spend to the cap every single year. They've built a new practice facility for players to come in and see, hey, you got a nice place to practice. You've got this. They've renovated the building, so the locker room is new. They've brought in an all-star game. You've seen two Winter Classics, and you're going to play in a third next year. You've seen two runs to the conference finals, including a Stanley Cup championship. I think they've earned some equity to trust a process, and frankly, this year shows you that they are on track with that process. They stated what they were trying to do, and this year played out pretty close to that way.
Curbs, I do appreciate the transparency that they have had, and they've been very things. And so just kind of your thoughts, though, because we went through what this offseason could look like, all the different things that could be happening. But I know there's a long checklist that Doug Armstrong has to look at here. But what do you think is the number one challenge that he faces this offseason?
I think the number one challenge is still, how does this team improve its defensive play? You've got those top four guys still under contracts. I don't think any of them are unreasonable contracts. You may have the single best contract of any defenseman in the National Hockey League in the Parayko one, from a team-friendly standpoint. But it's not just that defensive core. It's how do they tweak the defensive core, but also how do they play as a team? They still give up a lot of, you know, backdoor chances on that side of things. So, to me, it's kind of how you start to cut down again on the goals against, and that is sure as hell not talking goaltending. Our goaltending was just fine. You've got the one thing. I talked to somebody a couple days ago, on the inside on this one. You've got the one thing you need, you know, in the National Hockey League, and that's goaltending. To me, I think it's just going to be how you – it's that one on the ice, Brooke, and then off the ice, I think they've got to find some jam. They've got to find a little difference-making jam, someone that can bring a little spark, a little life. I'm not talking about you got to fight every shift, but I don't know that there's some of that, you know, Pat Maroon swagger, right? And we need a little swagger. So some of that it factor has to be brought back in as well.
Curbs, as always, great stuff. We'll be tuned in on Wednesday night for the finale, Blues at Dallas. And let's bring home a winner to close things out.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Finish the season 11 games over 500, which is a step in the right direction. Have an awesome week, you two, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, brother. Thank you. See you later.
Okay, see you guys.
That is the voice of the Blues here on 101 ESPN. Chris Kerber. We covered a lot of ground there.